Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. A recent editorial by Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, caught my eye. I've asked Mr. Steed to join us today to discuss what he calls religious tribalism. Lincoln, share with us what was on your heart when you wrote that excellent editorial.
Well, I wrote the editorial some time ago. Been away for a couple of weeks, and the day I came back, I saw that the printed copy had appeared, and there's my editorial. And while I had a hand in choosing it, I hadn't seen the picture before. And with the editorial is a picture of a bunch of young people, the next generation, with rings in their...
Yep.
Well, it's sounding a little bit like a nursery rhyme that I used to sing, with rings in their fingers and bells in their toes. But anyhow, we got a photograph, and I'd asked them to find something of the new generation, an awful lot of young people, and many of them even in business suits and that. I see them with, the very least, earrings, but sometimes nose rings. Go to the beach, you see belly rings, and you go further, and you might find rings elsewhere poked through the skin. It's trendy, piercings. And I think any anthropologist, and I've read articles by some of them, sees in this a return to sort of a tribalism, the figurative bones through the nose type display.
Right.
And we won't even get into tattoos. But I use that as a figure to discuss what I believe is really things are devolving into in the world at large as relates to religious freedom and religious expression. I don't know about you, Charles, but I've lived a fair while to see a few changes in the world. I grew up as a young fellow in Australia under the cloud of nuclear annihilation. We seem to be back there again, by the way.
Yes.
But we were dealing with the Soviet Union, communism, trying to counter its spread throughout the world. And while I think Vietnam and other Western misadventures sort of got the domino theory was sort of all wrong, there's no question that there was a post-World War II appeal to emerging peoples to a communist ideal. I think many times there was a confusion with a nationalist fulfillment and communism, but in a bipolar world, they were sort of faced with the choice of a capitalist status quo or using communism to remake their country. But the facts are we grew up under communism. We were on the side of capitalism. We were also democracy. The period just before my birth and World War II, certainly somewhere around World War I, was the end of imperialism. You can argue, and some do, that America is the new imperialist state, but it's not stated that way or not self-perceived. So imperialism died with the two wars, but it characterized the history of this world or the great powers for hundreds of years. The Treaty of Westphalia, after the 30 Years' War, which was the big major war that followed the Protestant Reformation, is by most social scientists been seen as the point where the nation states began. Nationalism, in its structural sense, only began at that point. And we're living to see the demise of nationalism. And so put it another way, since I've gone bit by bit through them, in our era, communism is gone. We're left with a huge ghost of communist China, but it's not communism in the classic sense. Cuba is tied up to the failing leaders or ailing leaders. But communism's finished. Imperialism is an ancient creed that not many people openly yearn for. Capitalism, at the very least since 2008, is in great disrepute around the world and in some ways even in the U.S.
Yeah.
And just one evidence of that is how bold the Pope of Rome could be in standing before the U.S. legislators and maligning capitalism. I think it was bad form, but an indication of the way the wind is blowing. Nationalism, it's really not working well nowadays. Now, I know Brexit just took place, but the European Union is calculatedly designed to blunt any appeal of nationalism. Russia at the moment is having a resurgence of so-called nationalism, but it's a hybrid. They're defining their nationalism on their alliance with the Eastern Orthodox Church. To be Eastern Orthodox is to be Russian. And this is what I see is happening all around the world with the breakdown of the old structures. What's emerging is a twofold thing, but usually one trumps the other. They're people groupings, and the easiest people grouping has always been ethnic. But I think the overlay of religion is what's the real determinant, because sometimes you have the same peoples but two religious identities. And there's a number of countries that are in civil wars over religion, same people but two religions or two religious viewpoints. And so I believe the whole world is reverting to a sort of religious tribalism or religious identity tribalism.
It seems to be something in the human heart that demands that we be part of something other than ourselves. Will I be right in saying that?
Yes. Well, we're social creatures.
Yeah, yeah.
And we think more than the monkeys. You know, monkeys want to be part of the group, but they're not really philosophizing about it very much. But we've got it down to a fine art. And I think it's been the success of the human species to be tribal and social. But when it takes on a dysfunctional form, it can be very dangerous.
Yes.
And I think religion is a wonderful force, but of course, I'm not so sure that someone else's religion is a wonderful force.
Yes.
No, but I mean, I'm being facetious, but that's how it works. And in reality, the social urge of human beings has a positive side, but the bad side is you fight the other.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, usually you were fighting the other for territory and imperialism. Hunter-gatherer societies would fight the other for access to either the waterhole or to the herd that was coming through. Those are wars that fairly well define when it's over or you win. Religious wars are the most deadly because the religion doesn't go away, and when you're fighting against the other, it's seen as with an incredible moral tinge that this is absolute evil, the absolute other, and they're very often wars of extermination. They're not to win a particular victory, like as we can see with ISIS.
Yeah.
You know, ISIS has captured some territory, but I don't think they're all about territory. They're about exterminating the opposition. Cut off as many heads as you can, you know, crucify as many Christians as you can, threaten as many countries as you can, disrupt the lives of as many young people as you can. Open-ended.
Then how do you drive a wedge into that process, or should we drive a wedge into that process? What kind of wedge should we drive into that process?
Well, I don't have a solution to this because this is on the grand macro scale and we can't do much, but I think we need to recognize it. And I think a huge mistake the United States has blundered into is a well-intentioned statement saying we're not against a religious viewpoint because we don't want show that we're against all people of a certain faith, that would be suicidal. But in so doing, we've just blunted much awareness that this is a particular religious threat, I mean, from a particular quadrant. And we should treat it as religious. It's not just a matter of persuading people otherwise. It's not just a matter of law enforcement. You're dealing with an implacable force. And I don't really know the answer, but it needs to be faced. This happens to be Islamic fundamentalism, but you could say it with any group. And I don't know the answer to it, but I think it's, again, as I said in another program, we're living in a time of fulfilling prophecy. And I think the breakdown of the old systems is creating a particular fanaticism of religion, which now pretty much has the world seen to itself. It's not superseded to any degree much that I can see by nationalism, by things like communism, whatever. There's no social philosophy of any consequence to compete with it. So right, we're back to the visceral antagonisms. And where we can see it most at play are in countries like Pakistan, where there's just a constant bubbling of, in essence, warfare and murder and fighting between Christians, Muslims, between Ahmadiyya Muslims, Sunni Muslims, Shiite Muslims, Hindus. It's just one religion at the other's throat, and it will never end, at least not in the construct that we have now, because there's no determiner of victory. it's been said a number of times in the U.S. that the war on terrorism or the war on extremism, you know, is doomed to failure because you're fighting an abstraction.
That's right. That's right.
And religion, in many of its manifestations, is an abstraction. It's dealing with a vision of the divine.
Two things pop into my mind when I hear you talk about this, Lincoln, and it's reminding me of something I heard a number of years ago. I heard of a coach when he was talking to his football team, and they said, you know, how can we come from behind? How can we make this happen? How can we find some victory here? He says that the job of every player is to go out and do his or her thing and do it as best they can. Don't worry about the quarterback if you're a halfback. Don't worry about the lineman if you're a halfback. Do your thing. Do your job as cleanly and as best you can, and let the results of all that come out as it may. And I think about that. What can I do? I can live my Christian life as best I can. And also, we look at this, we think, well, this is hopeless. There's nothing we can do about this. But we forget that there is a God in heaven who is watching down on this thing and is not held back by political boundaries, by social boundaries, by financial boundaries. God is involved. Can I say that freely?
Well, absolutely. I mean, obviously, prophecy is describing and predicting, you know, a devolution toward the end of time.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to happen now or in our neighborhood. We live our lives. When you were saying, you know, to do something and play the game rightly, I was thinking of, you know, in the British context, I think it might have even been Churchill that made the comment that England expects every man to do his duty.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then there's the old poem with the cricket thing, you know, play up and play the game, play up, play up, play the game.
Yeah.
As Christians, we're called to play the game of faith, not a confrontational or a violent game. And in fact, all true religion, and certainly Christianity's call toward it, is to honor God by respecting our fellow creatures. Way too much of this religious tribalism has reached down to the lower parts of religious expression, in other words, to hell, for its violence and its hatred and so on. And we need to steer clear of that. We can only do our part on this, obviously. And then looking at the world, I think we can see it for what it is. So I'm hoping to give a little matrix for us to view this on. But as far as how we live, yes, we live our lives, and we're responsible for how we interact with other people.
Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Web address, www.libertymagazine.org. Check it out. Read articles. Listen to these programs. Share the programs with other people. Subscribe to the magazine. It's all there. There is your matrix right there, libertymagazine.org. Lincoln Steed, thank you so much for being with us today, and appreciate your words of guidance and wisdom.
Always a pleasure.
Listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.